We're in a series right now on prayer. It is about the prayer that Jesus gave the disciples and gave to us to show us how we should pray. You know what? I believe if we learn from Jesus how to pray, that we're going to pray a lot more and that our prayers are going to be answered more. Wouldn't you like for more of your prayers to be answered?
Yes.
Amen. I hope so. Some of you, come on now. I mean, we all would like for our prayers to be answered, but here's the thing. I think we learn from Jesus how to pray. We're going to want to pray more. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, in this manner, therefore, pray. In the NIV, it says, this then is how you should pray. Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He said, pray like this. This is how you should pray. He did not say, pray these exact words over and over again. In the New King James Version, you know, a lot of times they give a little title at the top of a passage of Scripture, and they got this one right. They called it the model prayer. And that's exactly what it is. It is a model prayer from the Master to show us how to pray. E.M. Bounds said of this model prayer, the outline and form are complete, yet it is but an outline with many a blank, which needs our needs and convictions to fill it in. Yes, it's a pattern for prayer to show us how to pray. Last week, we talked about learning to have a father mindset, that when we come to God, we come to Him as our Father. Jesus taught us to pray this way, Father. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Listen, this was a really new and different thing for the Jews when Jesus teaches us to pray this way. You need to realize that as the followers of Jesus, we're the only ones who address God as Father. That may sound strange to you, but you need to understand how important this is. We have a special relationship with God. He is our Father, and that's the way that we address Him. Jesus said, you should pray like this, Father. What an awesome thing to have such a relationship with an almighty God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. He is our Father. We are His children. How wonderful is that? Listen, we can't allow this to become some little thing or, you know, some old thing to us. This is an amazing thing that we talk to our Father because we're His children. You are deeply loved by the one that you pray to. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He's poured out this love on us that we should be called the children of God. You are deeply loved by the one that you pray to. And if you understand that, it's not so hard to pray. And if you understand that, it's not so hard to believe that He would answer your prayers, Father. See, it should have a tremendous impact on our attitude and our heart as we go to God in prayer and we say, Father. He said, pray like this, our Father in heaven. He is in heaven. Everybody knows that, right? But we need to understand how awesome and how powerful this is and what this means to our prayer life. There's a reason that Jesus says to pray this way. It, again, has to do with the attitude of our heart and our faith and the way that we approach God. And He says, pray this way, our Father in heaven. It's a loaded phrase. I want you to understand. We come to him with the confidence as being his child. He's not a God who is unapproachable, that we can't come to freely. But he is in heaven. He is all powerful. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is sovereign God, and he has all of the power. That's the one that we come to. And I tell you, if we realize who this God who is in heaven, it will cause us to come with a sense of awe, even wonder, this God that we are praying to come with an attitude of humility, the God who has all the power. And it causes us to come with a heart of faith and trust when we pray to our Father in heaven. You know, in the Jewish mindset, when Jesus came and they heard Jesus talking about God as his Father, it offended them. They felt like Jesus somehow was implying like he had a closeness, a relationship with God that they didn't have. Well, he certainly did, amen? But we need to understand that those who have been born again, we also have a relationship, a closeness with God, to be able to call him Father. What the Jews did understand, they understood perfectly well what it meant to say that he was in heaven. Him being in heaven speaks of his majesty. It speaks of his power and authority. It speaks of him being sovereign. It speaks of him being an omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing God. And if we understand that when we approach him in prayer, I tell you, it will cause us to see him differently, or to see him with eyes of faith and knowing that he loves us and he cares for us and he can do anything. I'm telling you, that's the way we approach God in prayer. In Psalm 33 and 13, it says, the Lord looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. He looks down from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. He sees every detail. He sees everything that's going on in our world. He sees what is unseen. He sees the spiritual battle that's taking place. He sees every person, and not just what they do. He sees what's in their heart. He sees it all. He knows everything. In Hebrews 4:13, it says, and there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Our Father in heaven, we're praying to one who knows our situation. He knows our needs. He knows what's going on in our life. In fact, he knows more about it than we do. He's very well aware of our situation. You know, last week we talked about Matthew 6, verse 8, that he knows what we have need of before we even ask. He's well aware of our needs and the problems. He's not surprised by it. And here's the thing. He even knows the outcome, how it's going to turn out. He knows everything. His perspective is so different. We need to understand this. When we come to God in prayer, he knows what we don't know. Psalm 14 and 2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. And there it is again. You see, we are never out from under our Father's watchful eye. And as we pray and we have this awareness that he sees all and he knows all, you see, he knows all the details. He knows how bad it is. You don't have to tell him how bad it is. You don't have to go on and on and on about how terrible things. He knows all of that. But he waits for us. to invite him, to invite his power, to invite him to move and to work in our situation. Our Father is the great King over all the earth. Psalm 47:2, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth. I want to tell you that many of these verses, they tell us about our God. And I'm just going to encourage you, if you don't know these verses, we'll jot down the references. But I also want to encourage you to read your Bible, that God has given us a book that tells us about himself. If we want to be effective in praying, we need to know who our God is and how we approach him. But he is an awesome God. There's not anything he can't do. All the crazy stuff going on in our world, we need to know that our God has power and authority. Even over the nations, he can do anything. We should never limit the Lord in our prayers. Carmen and I have a favorite verse. I got a lot of favorites, but this is our favoritist. You know what I'm saying? It's Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We are serving a mighty God. In the NIV, it says he can do more than we can ask or imagine. I don't know about you, I can imagine a lot of things. But our God, he can do far and away above whatever you could possibly come up with. That's the power of this God that we serve and we call Father. That's who he is. More than you can possibly imagine. Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. He has no limits. We shouldn't pray little prayers, but pray big prayers. You see, because we're coming to a God who is in heaven, and he has all power and all authority. So we come with the confidence of a child coming to their father, but we also, at the same time, knowing that this is our Father who loves us, we know that he is an all-powerful, mighty God, the ruler of the universe. You know, when you think of the vastness of the universe, the trillions of stars, they say billions now, of galaxies, and he spoke it all into being by the word of his power. Beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagination. But you see, his thoughts are so much higher than ours. And whatever he thinks, he is able to do. He's not like us. We all think about meaningless things and our mind wanders. Some of you, your mind's doing it right now. You get a little bored and the mind just starts drifting off. Maybe even during worship, you know, you might even be singing the words while you're thinking about something else. But here's the thing about our Father, that whatever he thinks, he purposes to do. It's Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. As I have purposed, so it shall stand. See, he thinks it, and he can bring it to pass. He purposes it, and he's going to see to it that it happens, because he's the sovereign ruler of the universe. I want to tell you that he will build his church. For 2,000 years, Satan has thrown everything imaginable at the church to try to stop it. But he can't stop the church, because it is God, the sovereign God, the Almighty, who is going to see to it. He will build his church, and the very gates of hell will not be able to stop it. He's going to make his enemies his footstool. He's going to set up an eternal kingdom and rule and reign. I'm telling you, no devil can stop the Lord. Wicked men, listen to me, wicked men cannot stop God. He will fulfill what he has said. He is in heaven and he reigns from heaven. 1 Chronicles 16:31, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. We need to have this mentality. Our God reigns. Listen, may not look like it sometimes. You see all the things going on in this world, but you need to know that ultimately our God has the power and he reigns. This one who we call Father, our Father in heaven. You see, we need to magnify him. We need to think of him bigger. Awesome. Amazing God. And the more that we magnify the Lord, the smaller our problems are, the smaller those battles are. How much greater is our God than whatever circumstance we might face? Israel faced a great battle that there was no way that they could win. And Jehoshaphat, he goes to God in prayer. And this is part of his prayer, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5 and 6. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Now, I want you to know God answered Jehoshaphat's prayer because Jehoshaphat understood these three things about the Father. Number one, he's in heaven. Number two, he reigns. And number three, he has all the power. And we need to remember this when we pray and we talk to our Father. There's no devil that can withstand him. There's no sickness that can withstand him. There's no bondage that can stop him. Nobody and nothing. The government, your boss, the school, nothing can stand against him. This is who we pray to, our Father in heaven. See, we all face battles like Jehoshaphat, battles that we can't win. It's no problem for our God. We need to remember that he reigns. We have an adversary, the devil, and there are wicked people in this world. But ultimately, our God holds the power, and he is in control. We pray to our Father. We remember that he loves us. And here's the thing. There's nothing that he can't do. He loves you. Now, I realize that when we say God has the power and he can do anything, and I say he loves you, I realize that for some people that raises some questions. But you need to understand that he really does have the power and he really does love you. Isaiah 14, 27 says, For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? He has stretched it, his hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Nobody can stop the plan and the purpose of God. And when we pray, you see, we're praying to the one who has all the power and all the authority. Called some business one day, trying to get something taken care of, fixed, you know, and you wait online to talk to somebody in customer service. Anybody been through this torture? I know you have. And, you know, you hold and you hold, and then you finally talk to this person and explain the situation to them, and they say, well, I don't have the authority to do that. Well, get me somebody that does, you know. And then you finally, hold again. And you finally get to the right person, and they're able to fix the situation. I just want to tell you, when we go to our Father, there is no higher authority. He has the authority and the power. He is the one that can fix the situation. He really is. What an exciting thing to go to God in prayer, this God. This verse kind of summarizes this really well for me in Psalm 115 and verse 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. So much weird teaching and false doctrines today. And I know somebody, please don't be offended at me if you've bought into this, but people will say things about God that are not in the Bible, like, well, God's hands are tied because blah, blah, blah. God's hands are never tied. There is no such verse of scripture. There's not anything that implies that in any way. We need to go by what the scripture says about God, and this is what it says about God. He is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases. And we may not understand sometimes what he does, but we need to know this truth about God, that he has the power and the authority. He does whatever he pleases. And again, I know that raises some questions for some people, but we just need to remember, first of all, that without faith, it's impossible to please him. It pleases God to move and work through the prayers of his people prayed in faith. I know sometimes our prayers aren't answered the way that we want. Why does God do something about this if he does whatever he pleases? James 4:2 tells us, you do not have because you do not ask. So many of God's people don't pray. They just don't pray as much as they should. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, sometimes they ask, but they don't really believe. You have to ask in faith. Jesus said that whatever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you will have. We have to ask God in faith. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And sometimes we don't receive what we pray about because we're praying according to our own selfish will instead of praying for the will of God. In fact, it seems that today a lot of people have tried to use prayer as just another way to get their way, just another way to get what they selfishly want. Well, it's in the Bible. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. They might be asking for something that's not wrong, but they're asking with the wrong motives in their heart. It's just selfish desire. But when we pray according to the will of God and we pray in faith, I want you to know our Father in heaven hears and he answers our prayer. He's in heaven. It reminds us that God doesn't always do things our way, but he always does what is best. I hear a lot of teaching on prayer, I think, that just brings confusion and disillusionment. And again, if you buy into this, well, you just have to pray for me, but I'm going to tell you it ain't right. Well, you need to be specific in your prayer. You don't just ask God for a job. You tell God, now, God, I need a job and it needs to pay at least $80,000 a year. Good grief. I want to tell you, we do a whole lot better to come to God in humility, not like acting like we know everything and we're telling him what he needs to do. No, we present our needs to God. But we don't presume to tell God what he needs to do. We humbly bring our needs to God. And I don't know about you, but my experience has been that so often God doesn't do it the way I thought he would. And so often when the answer comes, it doesn't look exactly like what I thought it would. Anybody else? Only the praying people are saying yeah. Because we've all experienced that. If you've prayed very much, you've had the experience that even when God did answer your prayer, very plainly you knew that it was God, but yet it didn't look like how you prayed. We were pastoring a church in Oklahoma at one time, and we left there, and we moved to Whitesboro. I didn't have a position. Carmen was teaching school there. But we visited churches looking for where we were just going to go to church. And it took a while, but we finally heard about a church that somebody said, hey, we need a youth pastor. And I had been this person's youth pastor my very first youth ministry. And they said, we need a youth pastor. You should come over to our church. And so we went over there, and the presence of God was there. We really felt like that's where we were supposed to be. So we attended that church for 6 months. And after 6 months, they offered me a job. They said, well, we need a secretary receptionist, and it pays $6 an hour. And so I'm thinking, you know, I've been in ministry almost 20 years, and I have a family. No. And then I prayed about it. I got the order wrong there, didn't I? I mean, you see, just gut reaction, I'm like, no. But then I prayed about it, and I had to call them back and say, I want the job. And I worked at that job for about 2.5 months, and then they hired me as the youth pastor. And as the youth pastor, I had one of the most fruitful times of ministry in my whole life. It was absolutely amazing. And then also, I got to be my own kid's youth pastor. Now, I have to tell you something. I would never have even dreamed that up or asked for it. It wasn't in my wildest imagination, you know what I'm saying? But God knew what he was doing, and I wouldn't take anything for that time. No, he doesn't always do what we tell him to do. But so often, his way is so much better. Even when we may not see it right here and right now, we need to know that our Father loves us and we can trust him, that he knows best. He knows because, well, he can see down the road. Literally, sometimes. 1 year, our youth were coming back from camp and they had a flat tire on the bus, and it wasn't a real big deal because it had dual wheels, and so they were able to drive on to a place to get the tire replaced. And while they were there, something happened on down the road on the freeway. When they got back on the freeway, it was slow for a while because there had been a terrible wreck. Now, here's the thing. Was it an inconvenience for them? It sure was. But we don't know but that if that tire hadn't have gone flat, they might have been involved in that terrible wreck. I'm just telling you, we need to trust our Heavenly Father. You know, we pray and sometimes we have difficulty and problems in our life. That doesn't mean that God has let us down. Sometimes it is in His sovereignty. Not only that he's working those circumstances out for our good, but sometimes it's because he's doing something in our heart. He knows. We pray, and our prayers sometimes aren't answered because we're limiting what he can do or how he may do it. So when we pray, we always go to God humbly and say, Father, but humbly before him, never prideful, our Father in heaven, in heaven. It reminds us that we don't have it all figured out, but we know that he does. He sees what we cannot see, and so we just trust him. We have this thing that we say, and you know, as you get older, it becomes more and more of a thing. Hindsight is 20/20. We look back at a situation or whatever, and sometimes we're saying, I should have done this or shouldn't have done that. Hindsight's 20/20. Now I see. And sometimes we look back and we say, now I see why that was a good thing. But here's the thing with God. It's all the same to him. He doesn't have to look back to see with 20/20. He can see the future with 20/20. He knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. Why would we not trust this Father who's in heaven? He always does what is best for us. I know we feel like life is not fair sometimes, and maybe even feel like God is not fair sometimes. And I'm glad that the Bible isn't always just, you know, everything so perfect and easy, but it deals with real problems and real life and real situations. And, you know, I read about the Apostle Paul, and after he was converted, he just lived his life to serve God and to fulfill the mission, the ministry that God had given him. He went from city to city preaching the gospel. He was stoned, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was accused. All kinds of persecution came his way, but he just kept going preaching the gospel, joyfully doing what God had given him to do, until wicked men, no doubt inspired by Satan, imprisoned him. Don't you know he could have had the biggest pity party ever, saying, I was just preaching and doing what I was supposed to do, and now look what happened to me. Look what God allowed to happen to me. But that's not the way it was. Philippians 1, 12 through 14, he says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what he wanted. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, the Lord used this to spread the gospel even more. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote what we call the prison epistles and hold as the word of God. And during that time, he preached to kings and dignitaries, powerful people. He even shared the gospel with Caesar's household. What an amazing thing. And I have a feeling that the Apostle Paul wouldn't take anything for what happened. So yes, we go through things we don't understand, but we can trust our Heavenly Father, and we can pray knowing that He's going to work it out the very best way for our good. Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. See, even when there's an attack from Satan or the work of evil men, it can't stop God from working it all together for our good. He is sovereign and He has all power. So you need to know that your prayers are powerful because you're praying to your Father, the God of the universe, and He has the power to make it happen. We need to pray big prayers. When you talk to God, when you talk to your Father, don't ever forget who you're talking to. Your Father in heaven, the reigning, ruling King of the universe. He is in heaven. It should remind us also to not be too earthly minded in our prayers. I didn't say not to pray about the things in our life right now, but I'm just saying we shouldn't be too earthly minded in our prayer, because we all know that it is the things that matter in eternity. Those are the things that matter the most. In Colossians 3, 2, it says, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The things above. Our Father is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our hope is laid up for us in heaven. We have an inheritance in heaven. There's a reward in heaven. There's treasure that we've laid up in heaven. Heaven is our home, where we are with our Father forever. So, yes, pray. Pray about everything. But remember to pray about the most important things, the things that will matter on into eternity. Our Father in heaven. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want prayer partners to come.